Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and really excited today because we are going to have our first international program. And even though we're only in our fourth month of this wonderful radio ministry, God's been doing a lot of great things, and I feel like I know our guest today because my brother Michael visited the Good Samaritan School in New Delhi, and we're going to hear from the founder of this wonderful ministry, the Good Samaritan School. Anathy today is going to be our guest, so I know you're going to be blessed over the next couple of days, and hope that you will listen closely because I know that I learned a lot through my brother sharing about how God started this wonderful school over in India through such simple beginnings. And I think sometimes as Americans, we get too caught up in just having to have everything perfect and all the right materials and resources before we start something. And you're going to hear a powerful story over the next couple of days of a precious daughter in the Lord who was just faithful in the little things, and God has done great things. So, Anathy, thank you so much for being on. Hope is Here today.
Thank you.
Well, tell me, have you seen snow before? I know we have snow here.
So. I had seen, but today was very special. I have another teacher with me. She had never seen snow.
Okay, so wow. So
it was a very good experience.
All right, well, that's great. Well, the fortunate part, it's pretty today, but no ice, so it's not dangerous, so that's good. So we get some pretty pictures. What would the weather be like this time of year in March in India? What would the weather
be like?
It's
very warm.
Very warm?
Warm in Delhi.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I kind of thought that, but I wasn't sure, so I just thought I would check and see. But all right. Well, you helped found the Good Samaritan School, and tell us a little bit about how this came together. Tell us about how God put this together.
I never had the idea that I should have a school for children. I was teaching in college, and then I had done my PhD. So I was waiting there, but praying that I will serve the Lord. But I didn't know how. And my husband was serving the Lord. He was leading Transworld Radio in India. And I was just at home after my PhD. And one day a little boy came and knocked at the door. And I went there. He was sweet and he wanted something to eat. And I gave him all that was left over in the breakfast. I have three children, so I gave it to him. And then he started coming every day around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was happily giving him the food. But one day he came with many children, many little ones. they were looking like begging children, and I was slightly irritated in my mind, and I was asking them, "Why did you come?" And a girl said, "We are hungry." But I got angry and I said, "I will not make you beggars by helping you. So I'm not going to help you." And I shut the door and walked in. But that was the time when the Lord started speaking to me with the words of that girl, "We are hungry." That came in large proportion into my mind. "We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry," like that. And I was shivering and shaking and crying and fell on my knees. And I lifted up my hands and I asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And there was silence. And then the Lord said, "You feed them. That's all. One little sentence, you feed them." So I was distraught and I didn't get the boy next day. He was really shaken up by my angry words. And then I was kneeling down and praying every day. After a few days, the boy came again. But his knock was so small and hesitant. But I jumped up and went out to him and apologized for behaving like that. And I told him that he should not beg for food. He should work for food. And it was near 0 degrees in Delhi at that time, December, end of December. And I told him the honor of doing work to get something. So he was ready to work. And I gave him a nice wet cloth and asked him to clean the veranda. And he was shaking and shivering because he didn't have any sweater, only a half pant. and a torn t-shirt. I didn't see that. I was happy giving him hot food. But then his mother came and she told me that he's not able to do. And she will do the work and instead I can give him food. But then I realized that I shouldn't do that. And then I told him, you sit with me for half an hour, I'll teach you and then give you food. That is how my school started.
Wow.
As I started teaching him, many mothers brought their children to me from the slum and said, please admit our children in the school. I said, this is no school, this is my home. But they wouldn't take it. They said, please keep our children because no one will take our children. So I kept them in my garage and I got a rolling plastic board and chalk piece, and then I started teaching them in my garage.
Wow. All right, let me take a breath here because this is a yes. lot of great information, and I don't want our listeners to miss it. I don't want to miss it. So, you know, we see on the news that there is a lot of poverty in India,
yes.
and that is true. Is that correct?
Yes. In those days, that was in the early 90s. In those days, 40% of Delhi people were living in slums. Slums are like squatter colonies and made of tin sheets and thatch. During summer, they will have all sorts of this smallpox, chickenpox, like that, and many other diseases. And with tin sheet roof, it was terrible, terrible hot. And then they had thatch, but now it's much better. The slums are much better. And they won't have any running water and no place, no toilet. And there was a common toilet for nearly 25,000 people.
Okay, so, hold on. Mm-hmm. One common toilet for 25,000 people?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe it had 50 seats for women separate and men separate. And in between was a room where the caretaker was there, and then another room where then it was a night shelter for homeless people.
Wow. Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you is just I know I get guilty of complaining about some of the most simple things and maybe having to wait in a bathroom line with 10 people at a Kentucky football or basketball game, and you're telling me 25,000 people sharing one bathroom area, maybe even though it still has 50 seats. I mean, my goodness, that's amazing. And yet if you just tuned in, I want to make sure that you know we are speaking with Anathi. She is the founder of the Good Samaritan School in New Delhi, India. And just a powerful story of how God started this. And she just shared earlier about how it started with some people coming to her door, a little boy wanting some food. And then obviously the word spread quickly and other children showed up. And yet she didn't want to make them beggars. And so she sent them away. And then her heart as a follower of Jesus knew that she needed to do something but wasn't sure what. And so the little boy fortunately came back, and she wanted to do something with education with him. But before we continue the story, share about your experience about how you came to become a follower of Jesus. When did you accept Jesus? Was that in India? Or?
Yeah, I accepted Jesus in India. I came to know about, I come from a Christian family for 4 or 5 generations.
Oh, wonderful.
By missionaries, they had come to the Lord, my forefathers. But anyway, personally, as a young child, I remember Billy Graham coming to our town.
Billy Graham?
Speaking.
Really? Wow.
But at that time, I didn't know. I was not aware, though I started loving Jesus. But when I was 13, 2 Americans came to my town. And I went there. That day, I realized that I'm also a sinner. And I cried to the Lord for not obeying my mother or all these things, that not helping her and all, and confess my sins. And I started reading the Word of God for hours and hours. And that time I committed my life to the Lord.
But so you were about 13 then, is that
13,
correct?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
Yes.
And so you say you come from generations. Well, that's great to know. And I'm impressed. I'm embarrassed to tell you I've never heard Billy Graham in person. You know, I've seen him on TV numerous times where he went to be with the Lord recently here. But that must have been a pretty powerful experience.
Yes, Very powerful. I remember all legs. I was so small. So all legs.
You saw a lot of legs, huh?
Yeah, millions of people okay. grinding there.
All right. So you accepted Jesus at the age of 13, and then, you know, and I know I'm probably asking some simple questions, but I'm sure there's a lot of people like me wanting to know about churches in India, so were there Christian or, you know, churches where you could go and worship the Lord, or
yes.
did you have to do that in secret, or how did that
no,
work?
No, no. In that town, there were many Christians. It was a place where many missionaries had come, and it was a center for translating. I speak Tamil language, translating the Tamil Bible. So that was the first translation in all of Asian languages. So from Ziegenbalg to Rainier's and all, in that town they were, Rainier's especially, he was there doing 16th correction of the Bible.
Wow.
So, and Sarah Tucker, another lady, she came and established a school and college for ladies. And
really?
My great-grandmother was one of the first students in that school.
Really?
So that town had a big Christian atmosphere. So we had many churches and many meetings coming in. And but salvation was not very clear in my mind until that when I was 13, I accepted Jesus. But then I studied in schools which were not following Jesus. So I started thinking that all gods are the same. Mm-hmm. So there are many ways to go to God. So all gods are the same. So I used to draw the pictures of, there are so many Hindu gods and goddesses in India. So I started drawing those pictures for the magazines and all. But suddenly then I worked in college when I was just 22, my father suddenly died of heart attack.
Mm.
Then I realized where he had gone, then who is there, who is eternal, where there is no death and all. I started thinking again and surrendered myself completely to the Lord.
Okay. And how were you then?
I was 22.
22,
and
okay.
And soon after, a full-time worker, that is, he had resigned his job and came for full-time ministry to mobilize churches in India for missions. And he came to pray in our house, and he, friends, arranged that I should marry him. And I married a full-time worker.
You did? How
yes.
about that? Wow, God playing Cupid. I like that.
Yes.
I like that. Wow, what a powerful, powerful story. Well, I want to hear tomorrow on our program just about the school called the Good Samaritan School. And some of you may say, you know, man, I'd like to see more about this or find out more about this school that Anathy is talking about. And you can go to the website they have. It starts with the letter F as in Frank, FOTGS.com. That's FOTGS.com. And you can find out about this wonderful academic institution, the Good Samaritan School, that is in New Delhi, India, that Anathy founded. And it's just a powerful, powerful story. Their mission statement is that the Good Samaritan School is committed to serve underprivileged children in the love of Christ and to provide quality education in accordance with the standards set by the government, to teach discipline, respect, honesty, self-reliance, perseverance, and love for one another, and to provide a safe and creative learning environment to encourage an ideal student-teacher relationship. Well, stay with us tomorrow as we're going to find out more how this school started from just in her house and then the garage into having hundreds of students. I'm Greg Horn, and we'll see you tomorrow at 12:45 p.m. on Hope is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.